This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll tear your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective, with three fans who know how to talk some trash.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Ajay Salveson.
I'm feeling such an odd mixture of pride and mortal terror.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change. Without passion and without logic.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
Today on Turnbuckle Trash, it's Zane and Dave as we talk about Money in the Bank. Did it increase in value or did it really take a financial tumble? The Fashion Police make an appearance. Also, there's news and opinion. And we have Glenn Jacobs running for office in Tennessee. We'll have all of that coming up on this edition of Turnbuckle Trash.
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
This isn't a social event. This is a competition where there's one winner. You don't see the outfits before a fight playing with jacks and juice boxes. No, they talk trash and they beat the crap out of each other.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Well, Dave, Dave, can you hear me now?
Sound like some guy from Verizon, doesn't it? So yeah, we can hear each other.
Dave, that's kind of reminds me of a commercial.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, but I'm not going to switch to the other guy. I'm no. I hate those.
No?
I hate those new commercials. I really do.
Well, you know he's Sprint now.
Yeah, I know.
Well, anyways, my gosh, Dave, we're trying to figure out this fandangled technology. What is with this crap?
Oh, man, technology. Now, just to tell everyone, you are in Manti, Utah?
Manti, Utah. Right smack dab in the central state.
And I am in Logan, Utah, way up in the northern edge near Bear Lake and near the Idaho border. So we're trying out some new things, and I really hope your new job is going well for you, man.
Yeah, all is well. So far, so good, my
all
man.
All right.
You know, I'm sure I could find something to complain about, but nobody would listen anyways.
I'm not listening to you now.
Well, you're hearing me, though.
Yeah, we're working this out, man. I'm telling you, we're doing pretty good. Hey, let's talk some professional wrestling. How about that?
Why don't you cash me outside? How about that?
Ah, okay. We can do that, too. So, are you ready?
So, I'm ready, Dave.
Did you watch that Money in the Bank?
I got her done.
Uh-huh.
I got her done.
Yeah, it takes a while sometimes.
What did you think?
Yeah. Well, there were some weak moments, but there was also some pretty good high spots, I thought. So, what about you?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I don't know, I have a lot of questions, so we need to get moving.
Okay.
So, you just go for it, and I'm going to butt in when I have questions, okay? So the Hype Bros versus the Collins.
Yeah, the Colons.
Right?
Yes, they're from Puerto Rico.
Who are these fools?
Their father is a huge star in Puerto Rico and does a promotion there. He's been in the WWF when they were still
this is Epico and Primo?
Yeah, this is Epico and Primo. The Colons.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Why do they...
They have had so much trouble with these two throughout the years. They work so well in the ring together, but they can't come up with a storyline that makes sense.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the pre-show, dude. I'm not a pre-show guy. You know
me
that.
Me too. I thought it was interesting that Zack Ryder is back, and he also made an appearance on the SmackDown program trying to get a tag team title match for the Hype Bros. You know, the tag team division since SmackDown Live and that that split that they did, it used to be real strong. Right now, it's a little bit weaker, I think.
Okay, so, Dave.
Yes, sir.
Women's Money in the Bank ladder match, first of its kind.
First of its kind, very physical. I enjoyed it till the twist at the end. I'm kind of questionable the
you
twist
know,
at the
I,
end.
You know, I text you, and I said, I feel robbed, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't feel robbed because of the end. I didn't mind the end, okay?
You didn't mind the twist of Ellsworth climbing the ladder?
No, not at all. Uh-huh. Not at all. I mean, you know, if Carmella's going to be put over as a heel, she needs to just, you know, be a real heel.
Yeah, she needs some heat, real, yeah.
Yeah, and this will give her a lot of heat, so uh-huh. It should help prop her up, because I like her. I think she's pretty good.
Oh, I do too.
I thought it was a little short, to be honest with you. I mean, they need to make up their mind. You know, they keep talking about, you know, what was it, 2 years ago we had the big women's thing, uh-huh. And, you know, but here we are, first of its kind, Money in the Bank ladder match, and what was it, probably 10, 12,
yeah.
Maybe 15 minutes long?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just like, I was just starting to get into it, and then all of a sudden it ended.
Yeah,
and so let me tell you something. I'm trying here as we're talking here. We've been recording from long distance previously on the telephone. Right now we're using our fancy schmancy microphones and our computers.
Hey.
So I've had the opportunity to pull up the interweb in front of me and look at this while we're talking to this. So I just jumped onto Bleacher Report. I like to get on there. They have some pretty good stuff for WWE. And this was their analysis for the women's ladder match. It says, and this is exactly what we were talking about. It says, what a missed opportunity. This wrapped up far too early and before things could get truly wild.
Well, yeah, I see where you're coming from on that. I didn't necessarily think it was too short with the finish they had with Ellsworth getting involved, but I didn't think there were enough high spots for all the competitors, which usually in a match like that, when you get five or six people, they always let them have their own high spots. So I didn't see that. I can understand that they all didn't get their high spots. Tamina got the high spot at the beginning, Natalie for just a little bit. Becky Lynch and Charlotte got very, very little as far as the high spots go.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't dislike the ending with Carmella getting it, because I'm like you. She needs the heat, and she's getting plenty mm-hmm. of it right now. But I agree with the Bleacher Report that it was a missed opportunity to really make the women really stand out. So I agree there. Now, next Tuesday on SmackDown Live,
okay.
They're going to have another
match.
So,
wait, stop. Oh. What grade would you give it?
I'd be looking at a B.
B, yeah. I'm more around I'd be around the C range, but... So, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, on SmackDown Live this week, Daniel Bryan got on, and he took the Money in the Bank briefcase from Carmella and said they're going to revisit the Money in the Bank on this coming Tuesday night. So they're basically going to have another Money in the Bank ladder match on TV with the women. I don't know whether they're trying to pull in some ratings or why, but that's what's coming up on this coming Tuesday night. That'll be the final week of June. So we'll have to see what Daniel Bryan, who is a new daddy, by the way, if you haven't heard.
Oh.
Yeah, they had a little girl. He and the Bella, and I can't remember which one he's married to, Nikki or Bree. Anyway, it's one of the Bella twins.
It's Bree. Yeah. John Cena's.
Yeah, that's right.
With Nikki,
yeah. But that is coming
so,
up.
So next we got, and I kept confusing you. I think when I was texting you, because I hadn't made it all the way through Money in the Bank, and I kept saying the tag match, and I was probably confusing you. But what I meant was the tag champ. Match, the Usos versus the New Day. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I like the Usos as heels. I didn't know if I would really get into them as heels, even though when they broke into the WWE, they were heels and Tamina was their quote valet manager. They've been, the quote face for so many years. And now I like their new attitude. I like the way they're doing it. New Day.
Well, and I think we talked about that before too. And I told you I was a little bummed that they were just, regular guys now. They didn't have their gimmick anymore, but they're selling it pretty good.
Yeah, I like that part of it. So, but the New Day, they still get a big pop from the crowd. Kofi Kingston, what a talent he is. I got to give him all the props in the world. But I'm a little sick of the stick,
Yeah, I am too. And I was honestly and truly surprised at how entertaining the match was and how it was a good match. That's probably the New Day's best match because most of their matches kind of suck, let's be honest.
It's almost to the point where they try to do comedy with it. And this was very physical. Big E took most of the damage. But I tell you what, that Kofi Kingston, he is incredible when he is he's all over the place. And now he's doing this trust dive where he actually turns his back when he dives off the top rope. And he does trust that somebody's going to catch him at the end. Yeah. I think that's pretty cool. Yeah. But what did you think of the finish with them with the Usos just walking away?
I thought it was great. Great. Man, I'm so glad to start seeing some of this stuff come back. This is the type of stuff that slimy heels do. Mm-hmm. They don't want to give the titles up, so they just leave, because they know they're getting beat. And I thought it was great. I thought it was well played out, Because, it seems to be, as of late, we get some outside interference or something. But I was glad to see just a good old-fashioned, screw you, we're leaving. I'm taking my ball and going home.
Well, I think JBL really sells it well when he talks about the championship advantage, the champion's advantage, I think that was pretty cool. But can I tell you my tale of woe with that match?
Tell me.
It's Dave's tale of woe. I'm watching it live on the network. And I'm really enjoying the match, and I know it's getting ready for the end, and I lost my feed.
Oh!
I was so angry, dun, dun, dun. And then I couldn't get back on until the women's match was almost over, women's title match was almost over. So I had to go back on the network later and watch it, which is fine, but boy, that aggravates the out of me, so...
The next match, Naomi versus Lana.
Is it too soon for Lana to be a heel?
I think it's just too soon for Lana to be in the ring, to be honest with you.
I think she needs to do some NXT stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Do you know of how much experience she's got? I know we talked a few months ago about she was doing some training and things like that.
I don't think she has very much in-ring experience at all. But, look at her husband, Rusev. That's a good trainer. And plus, I know she's been training at the, Full
Performance
Sail.
Center.
The Performance Center, Full Sail. So she probably was ready. I don't think they would let her get into the ring if she wasn't ready. And she does have good mic skills. And Naomi probably pulled her through the match a little bit too.
Yeah, I was surprised that she did have a couple pretty good moves. That sit down spine buster she did and stuff. I was like, whoa, that's not bad. But so I got to tell you, Bleacher Report again. Okay. I swear to you, I have not read this right.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm literally scrolling through this as we're talking, and I'm scrolling match by match to see what they say after we talk the match. It says, Lana looked pretty impressive considering her vast lack of experience.
Hey, we must know what we're talking about.
Holy cow! We should start writing for Bleacher Report, I guess.
Yeah, we probably could, but hey,
Okay. So, dude, I'm not very familiar with the next segment. You gotta help fill us in, especially me. What... Who
is Maria Kanellis?
Why? I don't understand. Okay, help me.
Okay, Maria Kanellis was with the WWE years and years ago. If you look back at some of the old footage, you see her doing not necessarily ring work, but kind of like the Renee Young role, doing backstage interviews. And she called herself the first lady of professional wrestling at that time. I really don't remember her being in the ring, but I think she has been. Then when she was released, given her, you know, good luck in the future endeavors, she wound up with ROH wrestling, Ring of Honor. And that's where she met a wrestler named Michael Bennett. And they were with ROH for several years until about a year, maybe a year and a half ago. They left ROH and wound up at TNA before the new ownership. And when the new ownership came in, Maria Kanellis and Mike Bennett, or now Michael Kanellis, they basically left Impact right when that new ownership thing happened. I don't know if their contract was up. A lot of people were speculating they'd wind up back at ROH, but they recently, just this past week, signed their deal with the WWE. So Kanellis, Maria, has a background with the WWE. Michael Bennett, who was part of ROH for several years, won several titles, a really good performer in the ring. So I don't know how this storyline with them doing the love story, which is kind of like they were doing with TNA. They were a couple. Mm-hmm. She was the first lady of professional wrestling. And then when all this stuff blew up with the new ownership, it kind of looks like they're just going to kind of go with that type of storyline again. But Maria Kanellis was with WWE for quite a few years.
So here's my question for you is, what does the WWE gain by bringing in people like this? Why do we not focus on the talent we already have?
Well, that's a good question. But I would say that Michael Bennett, now Michael Kanellis, was getting to be a big enough name that they could work with him and get a little bit more recognition through the quote fans of
our
the indie circuit and things like that. And I agree with you. Maybe when you get an abundance of riches like the WWE has now, people get lost in the shuffle. We've talked about that before. And now, who's going to get lost in the shuffle this time? What's going to happen? And will the WWE, the universe, accept them? They got a pretty good pop when they came in to St. Mm-hmm. Louis the other night. But Maria is from Illinois, right outside of the St. Louis market. So she's very well known there. So she does have that recognition also of being with the WWE before. So we'll have to see how they're going to work this thing out.
Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter at Turnbuckle Trash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at wpfpod@gmail.com. Again, that's wpfpod@gmail.com.
So next up, we have Jinder Mahal versus the Viper.
Randy Orton. But didn't you like when they showed the St. Louis Legends, given those the old-time performers a little bit? Yeah,
good.
But Greg Gagne? I mean, he was AWA, and I don't know. I didn't live in the St. Louis area when the AWA was really popular. So I don't know if the AWA went into St. Louis but Baron Von Raschke, I loved the Baron Von Raschke. He got such a big pop from the crowd. And then when they, did Cowboy Bob Orton, that was the biggest pop. And Ric Flair, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So here's my thoughts. All in all, it was a pretty good match. It was pretty physical.
I liked it.
Those guys, man, it's one of those things where you got to see live, to see how big Randy Orton is. And I would imagine, and Jinder Mahal is right up there with him. And man, is he cut.
Oh, he is so cut. You can actually see how big Jinder is when he comes in with the Singh brothers. They don't come to his shoulder.
Yeah. What a big guy. Uh-huh.
And I think he's a great heel. I think he's a great heel. I love the fact that they gave somebody else a shot. You know, just out of nowhere. All of a sudden, he gets a shot and he took it. You know, I like it.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, sorry. I thought I lost you for a second. Here's what I was thinking, though. Okay, so how... It was a good match, don't get me wrong, and I'm not trying to criticize the match. I'm just wondering, where do we go from here?
Well, do you want my honest opinion? The honest opinion is I think Jinder Mahal will hold on to the title for a while, and then on July the 4th, somebody comes back to the WWE named John Cena? Yeah, that's what I'm kind of thinking, that he'll come back because Jinder is, you know, running down the country all the time. Here comes patriotic John Cena to save the day.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Isn't that how it always goes?
Yeah, but there's also been talk that he's going to be winding up on Raw instead of SmackDown. So I might be wrong. Huh. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
But overall, I like the match. I like the finish with the you know, with the Singh brothers attacking Cowboy Bob and Randy just losing it. And on SmackDown, he comes back out. Man, he put a beating on the Singh brothers and Mahal on SmackDown Live this week, too. So,
Did he?
I like it.
But I wonder why we haven't, why they haven't allowed somebody like Jinder in the past to show his true work. I mean, dude, you know, somebody that can run with the likes of Randy Orton, you know, has got to be a good performer. But this is literally, think back over the last 5 years, we'll just say. Mm-hmm. When was the last memorable Jinder Mahal moment you had?
You didn't.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't, you know, a lot of it comes with that new deal they have over in India right now. And here's a theory of mine, okay? I don't know how much validity this has in it. But about the time Jinder Mahal got his big push was about the same time that Impact Wrestling was talking about broadcasting their product from India, which they have done. The last two shows have been broadcast, not live, but were recorded in the country of India itself. So I don't know if this is, you know, Titan Sports and Vince McMahon saying, well, we're just going to take some of your thunder and put the belt on somebody who is of Indian descent. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's what it is, but that's a theory of mine.
Good on him. I mean, good criminy. It's about time, you know. You know, there was a lot, I guess. I mean, I haven't been keeping up with it a lot lately, to be honest with you, but I know from what I've read recently online, there was a lot of people who were upset that Jinder Mahal won the title.
Yeah. I like it. I like the...
You know, saying that he was no name and no talent and this and that. It's like, well, he's never been given the chance. How can you knock the guy if he's never been given a decent opponent?
Mm-hmm. Or a decent storyline.
I mean, he's been jobbing for... Yeah, he's been jobbing for the last 10 years.
And wouldn't it be great if they could, just for maybe one or two pay-per-views, give someone like Zack Ryder the title? I know he won the IC title, but didn't he give it up the next night to The Miz? Yeah. And, you know, that was big.
And then his U.S. title was few and far between, too.
And then, of course, he was the Internet champion for a while, too, but... Mm-hmm. That was a good storyline. But I like that. I would like them to see that. They don't have to do it a lot. Maybe once a year to give somebody a push just to see how they can handle it. Or just as a, you know, upsets can happen. Upsets can happen. I like the idea. But I like Jinder Mahal as a champ.
It's like a Cinderella story.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
So moving on. Okay. Breezango versus the Ascension.
Oh.
What are we gonna? What are? Do we even? I mean, is it even worth discussing? Come on, like, I don't even want to talk about the match. I just want to talk about Breezango.
Okay, talk about Breezango.
So Fandango in the ring when he's given the chance, dude. He is good. Have you seen some of his moves?
I have. He's really good.
Dude, there is no reason why Fandango shouldn't be repackaged and be competing with Dolph Ziggler and some guys like that. Seeing some of the stuff that he does and some of the moves that he has, there is no reason why he shouldn't be in the ring with some high rollers. And Tyler Breeze isn't a slouch himself. You know, he's young, and he's damn good. And he's entertaining.
Right.
And the Ascension, just, I don't know what the bleep is going on with them.
They came in with such hype, and then they've just been jobbers ever since. They've got a great look, dude, but man, they just, that. Well, yeah.
Down in NXT, they were brutes. Uh-huh. Man, the match itself, let's just be honest with you, kind of sucked.
I would call it a butt fumble. It was awful. Yeah. Don't say it just sucks. It was awful. That was the low point of the night.
I mean, why do we, you know, Breezango competes with the Usos, you know, for the tag titles, and now here they are back down on the totem pole again.
They don't know what to do
so
with
frustrated
them.
with the tag team division, you know. They don't. You know, you think back, and this has been a struggle for the last 10 or 15 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't know what to do with the tag teams.
No. And I love tag team wrestling. It's one of my I would prefer to watch a good tag team match over a singles match. I just love tag team wrestling myself. But, yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Let's drop the Breezango Ascension thing because it was really bad.
Yeah, there's no use in spending any more time on that, huh? Okay, let's move on. Okay, men's Money in the Bank ladder match. Okay.
Okay.
Oh man. Well, I don't even know where to start, dude. That was an awesome match.
It was, wasn't it?
I mean. Dude, I, like, for once in my life, like, I was like, I don't care who wins the match. I'm excited for, you know, I was just excited.
Well, at the very first, I was just like, oh, no, here's Baron Corbin, and he's attacking Nakamura, and I'm going, Nakamura's going to come back, you know, he'll just limp into the ring, and he'll win, but... Hey, they surprised me. It was really, really good.
Wait, don't give up the ending
yet.
Let's talk.
Yeah.
Let's talk. Okay. So I want to bring up a couple things. And you know that I'm a big Sami Zayn fan.
Yes, you are.
I've loved him since NXT. And I was really, really glad to see Sami Zayn get some high spots in that match. And I was gunning for him. Man, when he was up there on that ladder... man, I was like, it's finally gonna happen. Sami Zayn's gonna get a title shot. Like, this is incredible. Right. Dude, I gotta tell you, when he did that power bomb off the ladder on Dolph Ziggler, unreal. How did Dolph not break his fetching neck?
I do not know. And then when he power bombed. Kevin Owens through the ladder when he threw him through the ladder and that ladder just bent. I'm going, both of them, they should have just, I mean, they could have killed each other, but it was really good.
I love that Blue Thunder Bomb.
Uh-huh.
I just, for some reason, when he hits that just, I just love that for some reason. I know it's not that high of an impact a move, but for some reason, the way he does it is just awesome.
Yeah.
And then, man, when he, I don't know what that was, that when he suplexed Kevin Owens on the ring apron. Oh my gosh.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. There were some great high spots. And
The high spots, that's what I wrote down, was the high spots were just, I mean, the when Dolph Ziggler did that zigzag off the ladder. and man, AJ Styles hanging from the chain.
Yeah,
that just shows you how absolute tough somebody like that is, because you know he wasn't just dangling there. I mean, he was holding himself up for what he was up there for a good minute at least.
Yeah, and then when he fell, he hit the mat really uniquely.
Yeah, he did.
He hit hard. So yeah, AJ. I don't want to get into the Nakamura stuff too much. You got some more things you want to talk about before we talk about Sensei?
No, let's move on, because it'll be perfect for what I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Let me start, though.
Okay,
let me start. Okay. Here's what I have written down. I wrote down Nakamura WTF.
I don't get it either.
I don't get it, dude. I don't get the crowd. I don't get the pop. Do we need to like go back and watch some New Japan stuff or something? Because all it seems to me like he does is kick and punch. I haven't seen very many.
When he was with ROH, they called him the King of Hard Style, which is a Japanese form. They call it hard style wrestling. The thing I think the reason Nakamura gets the push he does is his opening. I mean, with people chanting the opening and stuff. And then the way the announcers call him the rock star or the artist known as. And I've said it once, I've said it again, he's a Michael Jackson wannabe. He's okay in the ring. He doesn't do wrestling moves very well, but he does, you know, the kicks and the punches and things. But the crowd gets into him for some reason. I am not a fan. I'll just say it right offhand. I could care less about Nakamura, but I'm not the one that is, you know, buying his T-shirts and stuff. And, you know, a lot of people are. But I got to say this. When Nakamura came back into the ring and he was in there and he faced off with AJ Styles, and of course, they had faced each other in New Japan several times, and they were holding on to that ladder looking at each other. Then when they pushed it to the side and started going at it, I liked that a lot. I thought there was just perfect way to get the crowd involved, and I thought that was such a good high spot for both of them. And then when they both climbed the ladder, you know, can we talk about the ending yet?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, the ending with Baron Corbin coming in, pushing over the ladder, both AJ and Nakamura hitting the ropes, and Baron grabbing that ladder, climbing to the top, getting that Money in the Bank briefcase. I know you haven't been a big Baron Corbin fan, but I loved it. I loved
you did?
It. Yes.
Dude, that's what I wrote. I wrote down was okay. I'm gonna quote our friend, our good friend. I haven't talked to him for a long time, Chris.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Can I do a Chris impression?
Do a Chris impression.
Okay, turnbuckle trash heads. This is Chris here. I just gotta say, what's with Baron Corbin? Is he main event material? Is he box office?
Is he putting butts in the seat?
I just don't know if Baron Corbin is box office. Thanks, Chris. Bless your heart. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you. Okay.
I'm laughing at you, Chris. I love it.
I know Chris is gonna listen to this, and he's gonna. I've been off social media for a while, so he's probably gonna message me and go, "What the heck are you doing?"
Oh, that is so good, Chris. Oh, man,
okay,
you made my day.
Okay, so all,
you're changing
all
your depends over the diaper.
All Chris making fun of aside, but dude, I just don't think Baron Corbin's ready though. Maybe I'm being a hypocrite now, because didn't I just say that they need to give lower guys a push?
Uh-huh.
I don't know, Dave.
I like it.
I guess you can please all. What is it? You can please some of the people some of the time. The other people, other part of the time, but you can't please all the people all the time.
And most of the time, you just tell other people just to kiss my. Well, okay, we'll go on.
And you know what the WWE says? They say, "Ha ha!
Yeah.
We flip you the finger. Yeah. We just made a ton of money.
Yeah, we got your $9.95.
You watched it anyways.
Uh-huh. I liked it though. I like Baron Corbin as a heel. I will.
I like Baron Corbin as a heel, but. Honestly, I'd rather see him with like the U.S. title or the IC title or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't. There's so many other guys, I believe. Like Sami Zayn, I would say, you know, he's paid his dues, man. He's been in the business a long time. Ziggler, he's been one of my favorites,
oh,
you know.
Me too. I will say, I love Dolph Ziggler, so.
Yeah. I don't know. But, I mean, so okay, next question, Dave, okay. is, so what's next? Where do we go from here? So what new feuds do you see coming up?
Well, they'll have Baron Corbin running around with the Money in the Bank until SummerSlam, maybe a little bit later. With the John Cena return coming up on July the 4th, I kind of see eventually maybe, you know, Cena getting the belt back from Jinder and then Corbin doing a program with John. Tag team division, I think, is a mess. It's a mess. You've got some good teams there. You've got the Usos, who I like. The New Day, which I tolerate because I understand why they're getting such a big pop. And once again, Kofi Kingston, just one of my favorites. But the rest of the tag team division on SmackDown Live right now is a mess. And just last year, I thought that the SmackDown Live tag team division was great. If you want to see some good tag team wrestling, NXT, they have some good tag teams down there. They really do. I really enjoy the NXT tag
team. You know, I've been pretty busy, and I haven't had a lot of time to. I mean, it took me all week to watch Money in the Bank, but I haven't given NXT a chance for a long time.
Yeah, I find it hard to, you know, to watch everything, but when I do watch NXT, I enjoy the tag team division the best. I just think they've got some really good tag teams. The tag team, the Revival, which was the champs down there for a long time, now they're up on Raw. And speaking of Raw, one of our favorites on Raw, The Miz, is now the IC champion again. And this past Monday night, you know what he's done now? He's gotten himself an entourage.
What?
Yeah, he has an entourage, and you'll probably like this because it'll give him a little bit more credit and maybe, you know, open up possible things in the future. Curtis Axel and none other than Bo Dallas.
Oh?
So they are now, they did
kind of form a little faction,
A little faction. Miz was backstage talking to them after Bo had lost a match, and you know, he's saying, "Oh man, you know, you gotta, you know, get together. Why don't you become my entourage?" And then they did a bit in the ring where the Miz was apologizing to Maurice for breaking the grandfather clock a couple of weeks ago, when the Miz was celebrating his IC championship, and you know, Dean Ambrose was there. But this time, they have Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel dressed up like big bears, which. Well, if you hadn't seen it a couple weeks ago,
That the Dean Ambrose?
Yeah, when he was dressed like a bear a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they were dressed in the same type of outfits, and they attacked when Ambrose came out, and they are now the entourage for The Miz, because The Miz, of course, is awesome.
Awesome.
I love it. Because Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas. This gives them an opportunity to get some FaceTime and maybe a little bit more recognition. So I love that.
Oh, yeah. So I'm wondering where – I know that everybody can't be in every pay-per-view, but where was Chad Gable and Jason Jordan?
They have not
– American Alpha.
They haven't been on pay-per-view in a while.
That's another tag team that's good, dude.
Gable showed up on SmackDown Live when Kevin Owens was doing his invitation, you know, like John Cena used to do his open invitation. Owens was doing it as the new face of America. He said, "Anybody from Dayton, Ohio, I'm going to give a title shot to." Gable comes out and says he is from, he just moved to Dayton, Ohio that day and gave the address of the arena. As his home address, AJ Styles said, "Oh yeah, I've been to his house and everything." It was a light moment. So they did have an appearance. I don't know if they've been injured or just working house shows, but yeah, American Alpha, they're another good tag team. What are they doing with them? I don't know.
Well, so let's wrap up Money in the Bank, dude. All in all, what's your total grade?
If it hadn't have been for Breezango and the Ascension, I would have given it probably a B+ to an A. But that butt fumble of a match will kind of bring it down to a high B, maybe. A high B.
Yeah, I'll give it a solid B.
Hey, MSR.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, do you like geeky things?
I love geeky things, Chunky Larry.
How much do you love geeky things?
I would say at least a 7.
A 7? That's
yeah.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
I have a few places on the internet I go to.
Well, the one place you want to go on the internet is geeksoftheindustry.com, because it's got geeks at the beginning.
Oh, that's a good point. Geeksoftheindustry.com, you say. What is that about? What is that?
Well, you know, it's got a little bit of everything. It's got cartoons, movies, music, video games, wrestling. You know, anything that's geeky that you're into, you'll probably be able to find at geeksoftheindustry.com.
I can watch all of those things?
No, no, no. It's a podcast website. You listen to things.
Oh.
Ooh, podcasting. You can download them from the website, or you can, you know, subscribe to one of the shows on Stitcher or iTunes.
What was that website again?
That's geeksoftheindustry.com, my good friend.
I'm going to go right now.
Yeah, sorry, my brother. You've got to get your own.